let God show you the way. Give it up to Him each day. Walk in His light, He listens when you pray. Living in God's hands today.
Welcome to Light, true stories about real people. L-I-G-H-T means living in God's hands today. How do you do that? By listening to God. You know, God speaks to all of us in some way or another. His guidance may come to some in a hunch, to some through ideas or thoughts. Some people are led to answers through certain Bible passages. Some people hear God speak to them. Our story today is about a guy named Mark who clearly hears God speak to him. The story really begins in Chicago, where Mark grew up, when he was about 10 or 11.
Here comes the train. Come on, guys. I got this one. Just grab the ladder up there. Oh, no.
Hey, wait for us, Mark.
Bobby, look. He slipped.
Nuts. Oh, I can't get my leg up. Oh, God, I'm going to hit the trestle. Can't get higher 20 more feet. I'm going to hit the trestle.
Let go, Mark.
Let go? Yeah. Okay, I have to.
Don't move, Mark.
Yeah, don't move, Mark. You'll fall right through that hole right next to you.
Mark, don't move. Give me your hand. There, up. Good.
You okay? Mark, you almost fell through that coal chute.
Look at that. It must be 100 feet down.
Oh, thanks, guys. Boy, that was close. My foot went through the ladder. I couldn't get up.
I could see where you landed. That's why I said don't move.
Who said let go, Mark?
Not me.
Me neither. All I said was don't move.
Somebody said let go, Mark. That saved my life.
Oh, boy.
Don't do that again.
That was the first time I heard God speak to me. Actually, I heard God speak to me 2 other times after that before I started paying attention. About a year later, I locked myself out of the house after school. My mom was gone somewhere and Dad was at work, and I was feeling kind of down. I heard this voice say, "Mark, go to Wilson's Corner, and at 4:15, your problems will be over." Wilson's Corner is in an odd part of town. It's sort of out of the way, you know? So I felt kind of dumb, but I went there, and at 4:15 exactly, my dad walked by. Now, my dad never walked anywhere he could drive to, and he rarely went near Wilson's Corner. That's strange, isn't it? One other time, I was grown now, married, 3 kids, and I went on a men's religious retreat. I was lying on my bed, just resting, and I heard this voice again. "What's the matter, Mark? Don't you trust me?" Now, I have to tell you that I did not grow up in any mystical religious atmosphere or anything like that. I'm a pretty basic kind of guy. I grew up in a Midwest work ethic family, developed new products for a couple of pharmaceutical labs. I loved it. It was a great job, great perks. And then a friend of mine and I were talking one day over at lunch. Now, Charlie, I don't want to be negative or anything, so let me get this straight. You quit your job, gave up your VP title to feed the hungry?
Mark, I've been praying for some kind of purpose in my life, and I got a very clear answer to form this foundation called SERPRO that would feed the hungry.
SERPRO? What does that mean?
Well, that's short for surplus products.
Well, how are you going to do this?
I don't know. Buy a food company, I guess.
You mean leverage buyout?
But I have to. I don't have that kind of money.
You don't seem too concerned about it, Charlie.
It's in God's hands. I can only go along with what He has in mind for me. Isn't it exciting?
Well, yeah, Charlie. And listen, if there's anything I can do to help, you know, advice or anything, I'd be glad to give you...
Say, I do have this idea to go after Mount Hope Foods.
Mount Hope Foods? Are they for sale? What am I talking about? Charlie, they're too big. I mean, they're almost as big as Pillsbury, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's true. But think of all the good we could do for the hungry with that kind of food company.
Well, what do you mean, we?
Well, I'm glad you offered your help. I could use it to put together some numbers on that deal.
Charlie, a purchase that size? I didn't exactly... That's a big job, Charlie. It'll take more spare time than I have, really.
Why don't you pray? Hmm? Maybe God will speak to you about it.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Sometimes confronting God in prayer isn't so easy. That's why living in God's hands today is so essential. Don't go away. We'll be right back to our true story called Mark after this. God is alive in this story, and through Jesus, He can be alive in you. Say this simple prayer, Jesus, come into my heart.
Well, I prayed, but not like you'd think. I prayed for God to bail me out. Seriously, I said, look, God, this could be the dumbest thing I ever volunteered for. If so, get me out of this now. I kept my job with the pharmaceutical lab, and for the next year, I helped Serpro in my spare time to prepare for this buyout. Then God spoke to me. I very clearly heard the instructions to quit my job. He said, your new job is to raise money, capital. We tried for 6 months and came within a breath of buying Mount Hope Foods. 6 months with no salary. You know how my family managed? When I left the pharmaceutical labs, I had a stock option at $21 a share. A month after I left, the stock went into the low 80s. God's confirmation. After the Mount Hope Foods deal fell through, I still felt God was leading me to buy some food business. I talked to him diplomatically. I said, look, maybe I'm not understanding something here. Do you really mean for me to acquire a food company? I can't go on forever without pay. So if I don't close a food deal in 6 months, I'll just assume that what I've been hearing wasn't you, God, and I'll do something else, okay? Well, in 6 months, we had signed an agreement with Mid-States Baking Company. Mid-States is part of the bakery division of North American Foods, a big food conglomerate. Why Mount Hope never worked out is beyond me, but I leveraged my way into Mid-States Baking. Shortly before the final deal was signed, I got a call from the controller at the parent company, North American. Now, what we said was this. Hello?
Mark, this is Bill Landers at North American.
Oh, hi, Bill. How you doing?
Yeah? Fine, Mark, just fine.
Listen, Bill, I'm glad you called. I was about to call you. We're all set here. I'll be coming down to St. Louis on Tuesday. I'll be in around 10:45.
Mark?
Yeah?
Mark, that is, we got a problem.
What is that?
Well, it's, my people are asking for a little more money.
Ooh, a little more money. Well, look, Bill, I could come up with something. I mean, how much do they want?
To make this work, they want another 300,000.
300,000? Wow, 75 or 80, maybe. Do you think you could sell that?
Look, Mark, I'm sorry. It's nothing you did or anything.
I gotta think about this. I'll have to get back to you, okay?
Sure. I understand. Maybe tomorrow, huh?
I went out for a walk and I prayed. Again, God's voice. Give them the 300,000, Mark. Go back and call them now. Well, I'm a pretty good negotiator, and I know you don't give away the farm just because they asked for it. So I kept walking, but I couldn't come up with any other clear answer, so I went back and called the controller.
Hello?
Bill, Mark here. About the 300,000?
Why, that was fast. Did you come up with an answer?
Bill, I'm giving you the whole 300,000.
How?
I'll give you a note, payable in 5 years.
Mark, if you could come up with cash, I'll bet they'd accept 100,000 or so.
No, I want to pay the 300,000.
Can I ask you why?
Well, I prayed about it, and I feel the Lord told me to pay it all.
Oh, okay, Mark. I'll pass this on to St. Louis, but I don't know.
The contract was rewritten, and 2 weeks before closing, I got another call from the controller saying they just couldn't go through with the deal because that floating payment schedule I set up was way out of balance for them. They met that night and were going to scrap the whole deal. I found out later what really went on in the meeting that night. The assistant controller, Jack Andrews, spoke up and said, well, wait a minute here. When we asked Mark for an extra 300,000, he didn't quibble a bit. Now, because we don't like something, we want to scrap his deal. That's not ethical. Now, that one statement saved the deal and turned the board meeting around. The deal went through. God clearly had a hand in using Jack Andrews. Twice, actually. Because after we were in business 1 month, my vice president of sales came in and said...
Mark, we got a problem.
We've only been operational a month, Paul. Give me some good news, huh? Please?
Well, one of our customers is complaining about his bills. It seems we've overcharged him somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000.
Oh, that's great. Well, if we did, we'll have to pay him back. It won't look good, but we have to.
Mark, that is not the real problem.
Oh?
Now, when we looked at it, I mean, we found that this customer has really been overcharged by North American Foods for the past year and a half.
Oh, my God, how much?
Well, we figure between $50,000 and $60,000.
What? Do you know what the bank will do to us if they find out?
Tell me about it.
This is the end. I mean, 1 month in business and we're ruined. Look, I gotta go to a meeting. Maybe I can get around to this somehow. I'll see you in the morning, Paul. Driving home wasn't very pleasant, especially when all I could think of was a Bible passage in James. I guess I didn't have to ask why God made me think that passage. It came through loud and clear. It said, "He that knows what is right and doesn't do it, sins." Well, the next morning, I called Paul and told him we had to write both checks out and pay the customer. Paul said the customer didn't know about the overcharging by North American. Maybe we could keep from paying the $60,000. Yeah, but we knew. Besides, it was clearly written in the contract that we took over all liabilities when we took over Mid-States. I'll tell you, there was no joy in following the will of the Lord that day. The next day, Paul came in.
Today, I have got good news.
Yeah, well, I could use some.
I told North American's controller about the $60,000 we gave away yesterday.
Paul, that's our problem, and...
Yeah, but he and Jack Andrews both think it's North American's goof, not ours. You see, they're sending us a check for everything up until the time we took over. It's around $60,000.
Well, isn't that just like God?
I get down on my knees and give it to the man. He's the only one who can give my life a better plan.
Jesus said, "My Father will honor anyone who serves me." Here's a couple of questions. Does God speak to you? And how? And how do you know it's God? Now, why doesn't God zap us with miracles just so that we know it's really Him talking?